Amen. I certainly need your prayers. And I couldn't add anything to any of these songs that's been sung today. And what a beautiful, beautiful service that we have had thus far. And Jeff, I'm switching over to this other mic so I can walk around a little bit and be able to have our freedom. In the book of Isaiah, we'll not be preaching long this morning. It don't take a whole lot of preaching when the Lord is moving like He is today. But in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, the Lord's laid this upon my heart. And folks, if you couldn't rejoice in these songs this morning, we invite you to get to know the Lord as your personal Savior. And oftentimes folks look at people and say that there's something missing. And I promise you this, it's not missing with those that's been singing rejoicing. It's what's missing in your life that you need to get a hold of today. So in the book of Isaiah, in the first chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture. Go with me, if you would, down to verses 18 through 20 is where we'll be reading at. And like Jim's already said, you pray for us and God, because I can do nothing without the Lord. Amen. I can do nothing. I can't stand here and bring a message unless God sends that message through us. He says in his 18th verse, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And stop reading over that 20th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use this morning from a text that we've preached on in years past, from the 18th verse, and simply entitled, Reasoning with God. Reasoning with God. The thought or the idea here is that when he said, come now and let us reason together, it's not that God is going to come to your side.
No.
Let me be up front with that. God is not going to change his word to suit you. He's not going to change his word to suit your lifestyle. He's not going to change his word to suit the trends of what's happening in the world. God's word is still today the same word as it was when it was written by our forefathers as the Holy Spirit moved upon them. God has not changed. Man has changed. And man sometimes thinks that God ought to change his ways to match up what's popular in society or what's going on in mainstream churches across the world. But God is not going to change his word to suit you or to suit me. God's word was good enough for our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was good enough for Granny and Grandpa, and it's good enough for us today. And if time goes on, it's good enough for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. God does not need to change his word. We need to change our lives to measure up with what thus saith the word of God. And when we do that, we'll find that we can rejoice in the house of God when the songs are sung. The idea that is stated here when Isaiah the prophet wrote this is that reasoning with God is the idea that each side would have the opportunity to state their side of it. That they would be able to present their side of the story, if you'll have it. A lot like our modern judicial system. That you have a right to present your side of the story of whatever it is that you're being accused of. And this right that we have is to settle the differences that have come between us. It is to make right that which is wrong between you and God. He said, come and let us settle this. Let's put it behind us because we cannot go on the way that we are. You cannot walk with God and walk with the world. Amen? You're either with God or you're against God. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either heaven bound or you're hell bound. There's no difference that I can state to tell you that there's a middle ground to where that you can be right with God and be right with the world. You cannot go and rejoice with the saints on Sunday and go back out to the world and dibble into things that Satan has and have a fellowship with God. God said we're a separated people. We're called out from amongst the world. But he says here in this word that we need to settle the differences that's between us and God. And I want to put this in before I move on. God is never wrong. If there's anything that is wrong and you feel like you've been unjustly accused, it's not God. It's us today. How many of us thought we was innocent until we come to the Word of God and we found out we was guilty? He said, come and let us reason together. The reason why we have to reason of this between us and God and settle the differences is that man often does not see ourselves as bad as what the Word of God says we are. Sometimes we think that we have not sinned that much, that we have not done that much which is wrong, so there's no reason for us to have to bow at an altar of prayer and call upon the Lord. We're not guilty of the big sins. We categorize sin. We've not done this one or we've not done that one. I've not killed anybody. I've not been out and I've not stolen anything. But the Bible says in the book of James that if we are guilty of one part of the law, if we're guilty of one part of all the Bible, then we are guilty of all the Bible. We're guilty of all of it today. And then the other thing that he says that we need to reason together is because many folks say that they believe that there is a God. I've not done that much wrong, and I do believe that there is a God. I do believe in church. I believe church is good. I believe in the Word. I believe in the Bible. I believe that there is a heaven, and I believe that there is a hell. I believe that there's a God, and there's a Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe all that. So why is there such a need for me to fix this which is separating me from God? The Bible also says in the book of James in the second chapter on down about the 14th verse, it says like this, if thou believest that there is a God, you doeth well. But even the devils believe that there is a God and they tremble at his name. So the differences that we have is that we all have a need because we have not been that good. Amen? And even if you lived a sinless life, as much as life within you, because of our father Adam, we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Because of our Adam nature, we all, while we were these little children here this morning, and I need to preach this, Brother Kenny, these little children, we don't have to worry about them because they are under the protective hands of God. Amen. Until they come to the age of accountability, and then they step out to sin by love and practice because of what our father Adam did, and we need to be reconciled back to God. Amen. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. We need to get back to God, but there's a difference that is here that we cannot reason with God because we are trying to look at ourselves. And folks, let me preach this to the lost this morning. That we look at others and say, if they're saved, then I'm as much saved as they are. Don't look at anybody else. Look at yourself and compare it to what the Word of God says. We say we're not that bad. We've not done that much. I believe that there is a heaven. But the Bible says in His Word, in the book of John, in the third chapter, Jesus told Nicodemus this. Nicodemus believed that there was a God. Yeah. Nicodemus believed that there was a church. Nicodemus believed in all the religious parts of the day, of the temple that day. But folks, what he didn't believe, and he even believed upon Jesus. And you say, well, how can you say that he believed upon him? Because when he heard when he was coming to town, he ran before him and he climbed up into the tree to be able to look down and see this man Jesus as he passed by. But folks, when Jesus, people say, well, only Nicodemus knew that he was there. He was only one. But Jesus told him, and I got the story backwards, so you know what I'm trying to preach this morning. He told him, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Zacchaeus climbed up the tree. Nicodemus came to him at night, and he said, you must be born again. Folks, we all deny, say this, even from children, we know that there is a God. People say, well, that's fallacy. You can't say that. You can look around you, as Tara sung and testified. You can look around you at this world today and you have to realize that there was somebody smarter than man that made this world. Can I preach this morning? It was not two atomic flashes in the solar system in years gone by that sparked and this world became into existence. No, I still believe what the Word of God says. It was God that spoke it into existence today. It was God that made you and I. And it was God that made us to give Him glory and praise this morning. People, you can believe whatever you want to. And I have one debate for that. If it was just two atoms that exploded in space that sparked the world and put into existence, Billy, why hasn't there been more sparks of atoms in the space? You know why? There's fallacies of man. Man will make up all kinds of lies to hide what the Word of God says. And I didn't come to preach on that this morning. But it needs to be preached. The Bible also says that there's a reason that we need to come before God is because many folks do not believe. Some of you this morning may have come to church and said, I don't have anything wrong with church. I don't have anything wrong with the singing. I don't have anything wrong with going and being part of a group of people that worship the Lord. But how do I know that all this stuff is real in my heart, in my life? I've testified many a times. I remember a Chad sitting in a church, a little storefront church like that we grew up in. And I sat in the back pew and I watched everybody in the church house. I watched them as they rejoiced in the Lord, if I can use that word. How they sung their songs and how they shouted. And you don't hear much of that in Baptist churches anymore, but I still believe in shouting in the house of God. And I'd watch the preachers preach and I'd watch them sing their songs. And my thought was this, how in the world do they know it's real? How do they know that this is real? How do they know that they need to be saved? And isn't it just somebody that's working it up, maybe like a fire? Somebody starts a fire. Somebody else throws a log on it. Next thing you know, it's burning too. You got a bonfire. Let me tell you, it's not what we work up, because we're not able to work up what you're feeling in your heart and soul right now. I get excited at ball games. Can I preach this morning? I get excited, especially when it's Kentucky basketball. I get all excited. But when the game is over, that excitement has left me. Folks, I've got something down on the inside that I got back in 1972, and it has never left me. I cannot get rid of that good thing that God put down in my soul today. How do they know it's real? Reasoning with God. I remember. Anybody else remember when you was trying to reason with God? I sat there and I said this, Mom and Dad's been fooled. They've got this all worked out. I'll sing this song and you say amen here and I'll say this and you say that. They got it all worked out and Mom and Dad has been fooled by these folks sitting in this congregation. That's my reasoning with God. And I'll get to my message in a minute. That was my reason with God, that they've been fooled. How can my mom and dad, being so smart, be taken by these folks? That's what I thought. Anybody else ever thought that? That's the way it was in my heart. I was reasoning. See, folks, let me tell you what God was doing. I didn't even know it. I thought I was smart enough to get past this. What God was doing, He was putting a seed in my life, and I was trying to find every way in the world to get around God. Yeah. It's just a hoax today. Many of those in the time of Jesus, they looked at Him and said, "This man is a sinner. This man is not who he said he was." But you know what happened? The same ones that were the naysayers, when they saw him hanging on the cross between the heavens and the earth, and the sky was darkened, and the earth shook, they went by there and they shook their heads and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." The same ones that said it can't be are now saying, "Yes, it is." And let me move on. There are many of them that just don't believe. You remember when Paul, in the book of Acts, went over to King Agrippa and he preached to him, and King Agrippa looked at him and he said like this, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost." But Paul said something that's very interesting before that. Paul said, "King Agrippa, I know that you believe." Oh, help me preach. "I know that you believe." This is not something that is new. This doctrine is not new. This way is not new. "I know that you believe." And King Agrippa looked at him and said, "You know what? I am almost persuaded to follow you, Paul." But there was a lot of things that stood in his way. His role in the government, no doubt, was one obstacle that stood in his way. What others would think about him, no doubt, stood in his way. But folks, let me preach to you this morning. When you really start reasoning with God, the devil will give you every reason in the world why you should not go get saved this morning by the grace of God. Let me tell you, hell has got all kinds of excuses of why people didn't get saved. But folks, I'll tell you this, every one of them that is down there today would like to be where you're at this morning, in an old time Holy Ghost filled church where people are singing and preaching about not a dead God, but He's a living God and He's alive forevermore. People in hell that offer up all kinds of excuses sat back there and they reasoned with God, and now they wish they had another opportunity, but it's too late. It's too late. Many of them folks, no doubt, think today that it's a hoax. But then I have to go on for just a minute. But even when we was there and we was reasoning with God, help me again by a confirmation. How many of you remember reasoning with God? Brother Scott, that we said that, you know, if I get saved, all my friends will leave me. If I get saved, I'll never have a good time. The devil thinks that all we are is a bunch of long, drawn-out faced people who say we're saved and on our way to heaven. Let me tell you, God's given us an abundant life while we're here, and we've got even a better life waiting for us over on the other side today. I don't want you to think you got to get saved and give up living. You get saved and you will start living by the grace of God. You don't know what living is until you've experienced salvation down in your heart. Soul. The Bible says it like this. There was many of them that did not believe because they don't think that they're as bad as what the preacher says that they are. And folks, it's not my message. Can I put this out, Brother Larry? It's not my message. It's God's message. It's not my word. It's God's word. It's not my church. It's God's church. I can't even save you this morning, but I know a man who can. I know a man who can. Many of them say, "I'm not that bad." Some of them just say, "I believe," but just saying you believe is not enough. It's not sufficient enough. And then others that say, I don't believe. But the Bible says that you have to believe in order to be saved. And all the time that I was trying my best to try to reason with God why I did not need to be saved or why I could not be saved. Some of you this morning might be of the mindset that you've done too much wrong, that God won't save you in spite of all your hang-ups and all the problems that you have in your life. But I know I've got some men and women in this house this morning, and I've got a book full of them up here that will testify to this. It doesn't matter how deep in sin you have trod. God is able to reach down and pull you out of the miry pit that you're in. Set your feet upon a solid foundation. Dress you up and make you a fit subject for the kingdom of God. Folks, we don't look this good. Folks, we are just what we are. Sinners that's been saved by God's grace. But you ought to see the way we look when God looks at us. He no longer sees us as that red crimson that was there, that scarlet. What that represented was that stains had come in your life. How many of you had stains in your life? I'm going to preach this morning for a few more minutes. How many of us had stains in our life where sin had come in and just messed up our life? But you know what the Bible, as we was reasoning with God, you know what the preacher said? He began to preach, and he preached maybe that old song, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross." The more I tried to reason with God, the harder the preacher broke. preach, and somewhere along the way, I lost sight of the church I was in. I lost sight of who was there and who wasn't there. I lost sight of even what the preacher was preaching about. The next thing I know, I quit my reasoning and I said, yes, God, you're right. I'm a sinner that needs to be saved by your grace. And the next thing I know, I took a step out behind the pew. I walked down to an altar of grace. God saved my soul. And He'll save yours today. He'll do it for you. If only you'll believe. Because all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. When I saw the message being preached in its reality, folks, I didn't see the preacher that was before me. There was a voice that was speaking to me. I gotta find a hushing place here in a minute. How many of you remember when you was in conviction, there was a voice that was speaking to you? We was like Samuel of old. Folks, we heard a voice that nobody else heard, but yet when we heard that voice, it was a voice like I never heard before that spoke to my soul and said, yes, even though you're on your way to hell and destruction, if you'll just believe, you can be saved today. I did not have to go. Samuel went to Eli. And he said, who is this that's talking to me? Did you call for me? Eli, after the second time, finally got smart. He said, I'll tell you what, you go back. And the next time he comes and talks to you, you just say, yes, Lord, here am I. Let me tell you what I did. I did not have to get up and go to mom and dad and say, who is this that's speaking to me? Some of you here this morning, God is speaking to your heart right now. Let me tell you, you don't have to ask your wife or your husband or your mom or dad. You don't have to ask somebody else, who is this that's speaking to me? You know who it is. It's a voice that even the vilest sinners can recognize. It's a voice that speaks. It tells you you're doomed and dying and going to hell. But yet it's a voice of love that says if you'll just believe, receive me as your Lord and Savior, you shall be saved today. Amen. Stop reasoning with God. Because, can I go back for just a minute? Most of the time when we're reasoning with God, it's not our words, but it's the words that the devil is giving us to use as an excuse. How many of you have ever used excuses before? Amen. All right. Some of you didn't want to participate. How many of you have made up excuses before? Amen. How many of you really wanted to do something, but you had an excuse that was offered for you? Amen. You know, there's a lot of things I'd like to do. But there's a lot of things that keep me from doing the things I want to do. Does that make sense? Some of you this morning know that you need to get saved. But you're offering up every excuse you have to try to keep from getting saved. Let me tell you, there's not enough excuses why you should not be saved by God's grace today. You ought to be saved. You ought to know that you're saved. And I'm going to close in just a minute. You ought to know that without a shadow of a doubt, that if death was to come to your house today, that you would make it to heaven by the grace of God. Not by your works, not by your deeds, not by anything else you've done, but by God's grace. Amen. You'll make it home today. Amen. I thank God for grace, don't you? Amen. Yeah. It's grace that keeps me going. Let me find a hushing place this morning. The Bible says, Isaiah was preaching to us and teaching to us. Isaiah said it like this. He said, I was reasoning with God. He said, and the Lord said, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be as crimson. If I can cut the paraphrase the version of that verse down real quick. He said that there is no reason for you not to be saved. I want to close this morning by telling you that there is no reason for you to leave here lost like you did when you come in. There's no reason that is sufficient enough for you to walk away and say, I'll go to church. I'll still believe in God. I'll still believe in Jesus Christ. I still believe in the Holy Spirit, but I don't know about getting saved today. Unless you get saved, all your other beliefs are going to take you to hell and destruction today. Nothing else will save you from that awful place except for stepping out behind of that pew, walking down an old-fashioned altar, finding a mourner's bench, and calling upon God. God will save you, and then you'll be a fit subject for His kingdom. Isaiah saw himself like this, Kenny. Over in the 6th chapter, if I recall correctly, the Bible said that when Isaiah heard the word of God, he said that he sat there and he began to say, woe am I. Woe am I. In other words, I'm in trouble. Can I preach it like that? I'm in trouble. Some of you here this morning, you know that you're in trouble. And listen why he said. He says, woe am I, woe is me, is what he said. For I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw the Lord, and he saw him. And remember the first verse, it said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But listen to what he also went on to say in the fifth verse. I read to you already, but he said it like this. He said that I saw myself in such bad despair that I knew that if I left that house in the year that you, King Uzziah, died, I would be lost for all eternity. I don't know how many more opportunities you're going to have to get saved. Let me just be open with you and point blank today. God does not owe us anything more than just one opportunity. In fact, God doesn't only owe, He doesn't owe that to us. It's by His grace that He come by the first time and offered to us salvation. He's come by your house. And I have to close this morning. But He's come by your house time and time and time again. And I want to get this while they get a song of invitation. In fact, Villa, won't you come and sing that song for us this morning? What would I do without Jesus? Because it fits right to this message this morning that it doesn't matter how many times God has knocked upon your heart's door. This could very well be the last time. And if you don't act on this time, you may just seal your destiny for all eternity. This world has nothing that is worth dying and going to hell for. The Bible says if a man was to gain the whole world and lose his soul, what would he give in exchange, Brother Rod? This world and all of its beauty has got nothing that's worth dying and going to hell for. There are folks here that love you this morning. There are folks that, Jim, if we could, we'd take away every excuse that they have of not getting saved. Yes, you've been a good person. I know some people that need to be saved, Billy, that are good people. They would give you the shirt off their back. That's a good person. They would help you out. They've got so many godly characteristics, Chad, that you would think that they're saved. But folks, if you have never been to the river and you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, then I've got bad news for you. You're still lost and in your sins. But I don't like to just leave you with bad news. Let me give you the good news. The Lord is in the house. The water is troubled. That young man said, Jesus said, will you be made whole today? I'm asking you this morning. You've reasoned with God long enough. Some of you have been reasoning with God for years. Jesus said, that man, will you be made whole? He said, how can I? He said, every time I go to get in, somebody else gets in before I do. They get whole and I'm left here. Still in this awful state. Let me preach to you this morning that it doesn't matter if God's talking to a heart over here and a heart over here. God can save a multitude as quick as He can save one. Can I put this in? I promise you this, mom or dad, a young man or woman, the moment you step out behind that pew, God will be found with you. There are folks that will come and walk the aisle with you, but it'll not do you no good. We're just a hand to hold on to or a shoulder to lean upon. But when I stepped out, I found the dearest friend that I could ever find. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this world. When mom and dad can't go with you, when husband or wife can't walk with you, can you, when the kids are far off, I'm glad I still know a God that said, I'll be there for you. What is it you need today? That's the kind of friend that I have in Jesus Christ. Stop all the reasoning. Stop trying to make yourself sound better than what you are. Because you see, deep down in our hearts, we know who we really are. Brother Wayne, I know who I am. Some folks look at us and they say, he really thinks he's something. And I say, no, I'm nothing but just one grain of sand that's been saved by the grace of God. I have nothing in this flesh that I can boast about. But oh, I'm just like a mother or grandmother. I may not have anything within myself to boast about, but when you ask them about their children, their grandchildren, they'll light up like a baby rooster, and they'll start showing you those pictures. Folks, when it comes to God, let me tell you, how many of you are proud of what God has done for you today? I've got nothing in the flesh to boast about, but when I start talking about what the Lord has done, I'm here this morning by the grace of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. Praise God today. And you can be also if you get saved. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. How is it with you this morning? Would you come? Stop allowing the devil to reason with you and give you excuses of why you shouldn't get saved. Bless you today. Others that need to make that step. Others, some of y'all come in and pray with this sis. Come in and pray with her. Others that need to make that step today. You're tired of not knowing. You're frustrated with life. And that if you was to die, you don't know where you spend eternity. Would you make that step today? Moms and dads that need to leave behind a testimony that you know you're saved by the grace of God. Why don't you come? Some of you this morning that even there in your pew you offer up excuses of why today's not the day. If not today, then when? When will you get saved? And you say, well, I've got plenty of time. I shared that prayer request this morning about Sister Barb's sister-in-law's granddaughter, 13 years old and consumed with cancer. Folks, we don't have the promise of another day. We only have this time right now. Stop reasoning. Stop making excuses when your heart is telling you that you need to get right. Would you do that today? Come on. Come on real quickly. While God is dealing. There's a church of love here today. We're not here to cast you down. Sister Charlotte, we're here to lift them up. Help them that they might get to God. Why don't you come? You say, well, I believe I'm saved, but there's some things in my life that I am trying to reason with God about. Folks, if it don't measure up with God's Word, you need to get rid of it. Get it out of your life so that you can move on and be a happy Christian. Why don't you come? Just follow your heart. I'm not asking you to step out for us. Step out for yourself. For yourself today. Would you do that? What are you going to do? Are you going to let this be a reasoning session to where you just talked your way? In fact, you didn't talk your way out. You allowed the devil to talk you out of getting right today. The devil will get the victory in your life if you walk away here lost and undone. Well, Rob, if you would make yourself up here this morning while these are praying, I'd like for Rob to lead us all in a verse or two of this song, because this is the way that God wants you to come right now, mom and dad, young man or woman. Don't go home and get rid of anything. Don't go home and try to fix anything. But while God is knocking upon your heart's door. Oh, sister, I remember that I tried to put God off that time. Sister Rachel, I said, well, maybe I'll go. If I can just get out of this service, I'll go and get right next service. The next service, I'll get right. I offered up every excuse I could. There's somebody sitting here next to me. I can't get out because they're sitting next to me. But you know what? When I saw AC that I was doomed and dying going to hell, and I felt the presence of conviction. Does anybody else remember that? When I finally said, yes,
I didn't say it with an audible voice. But when I finally said yes, I don't remember, Wayne, how that person got out of my way that was sitting next to me. In fact, I don't even remember how I made it down the altar. I don't even remember what I prayed. But I remember getting up and the preacher said, "Did you come this morning to ask God to save you?" And I shook my head, yes. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all remember that day. He said, "Sister Debbie, do you feel like God saved you?" And I shook my head, yes. And the next thing I know, I heard the rejoicing in the midst of the church. Because you see, folks, people didn't rejoice because it was another banner for the church to hang up. They rejoiced because one more soul that the devil had lost and heaven had gained. That's why they rejoice. Some of you this morning, and I don't want to preach them anymore in great detail, but some of you this morning, we've been praying for a long time. Some of you, we've been carrying your burdens for a long time. While you're reasoning with God, you're worrying your loved ones. You're worrying the church. You're worrying your kids. And kids, you're worrying your parents. Can I ask you why they sing this? Why don't you just come and get saved by the grace of God? Just come and get saved this morning. Stop reasoning. You have nothing to present that'll hold up. Just confess and repent and be saved. Would you do that? One more verse, Rob. One more verse. Come on, Mom and Dad. Stop offering excuses and just step out and receive the Lord. Yes. Yes. Lord, bless her. Amen. Others that need to move this morning, why don't you follow your hearts? Bless you today. Bless you. Did you come pray the Lord to help you? Did he give you that comfort this morning? Amen. You'd already accepted the Lord before.
Yeah.
Yes. And you just need to come and pray. Yes.
It's been a long time.
Amen. You feel like He's restored that fellowship?
Yes.
Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Right? Many of us have been there where we lost that fellowship. Yeah. You remember how terrible it was? But when the Lord restored that fellowship, David prayed for God to restore his fellowship. I prayed for Him to restore mine. You know what I found like? I felt like after God restored it, I could go bear hunting with a switch. Amen. Some of you need to have that confidence this morning. There's nothing that God and I cannot take care of. And I is a small I, because God does all the work. And I just get to boast in it. Amen. God bless you. I pray you got something from the service this morning. Too many folks are just trying to reason with God. Lord, I'm not that bad. I've not done that much. But you know what? There's many men and women and young men and young ladies that's in hell that were good moral people. They've never done that much wrong. They tried to help others. They tried to be a good citizen. But it's not enough. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And how many of you know today that you have been born again? Amen. Raise your hands up high. Don't be ashamed of that good part the Lord has done. If you've been saved, folks, you ought to rejoice in it because it was the Lord that kept reasoning with your heart. You know what He said? And I'm trying to find a hushing place, Kenny. He said, "I know that your life is spotted. I know that you're red like crimson and like scarlet." What that was a worm that was found in the Mediterranean. And what they would do is they would take that worm and they would kill it, squash it to get the blood and stuff out of it, and they would use that for dye. You and I, Satan, has dyed our lives. We're no longer white like we once was. We were black as coal, if I can use that. Crimson is a dark, dark color. And we were black as coal. But you know what the Lord did with His blood? He washed us up and took us back to the original state. Amen. That'll preach, won't it? He took us back to the original state that He created us in and made us white as snow. Hey, folks, it's not what you and I can brag about. It's what the Lord did for us that we can brag about. God bless you this morning. I hope you got something from the service today. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. And I guess I better take up an offering this morning, I guess. We'll just do this if it'd be all right. I want you to fellowship one with another and have a good time. Jim, if y'all would just put the plates out in the front, put the bucket out in the front for the kids for their pity march. And folks, just give as you exit. In fact, let me say this. If we had to give as good as God's been to us, we ain't got enough money. We ain't got enough. But God says to give out of the abundance of your heart. So you do that as you depart. Come back and be with us 6 o'clock tonight. I hope those babies get feeling better. God bless you and that family. I hope y'all get feeling better. And I hope you that turned out away will come back tonight. Or maybe this afternoon, you just realize in your heart, Lord, I want to get saved. Call upon Him. He'll save you at home. And then come back tonight and tell us what He did for you. Would you do that? God bless you today.